Okay, we'll read verses 1 through 6 of Revelation 12. And here we go. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, figuring 360 days to a year, which is the way the calendar goes in those parts. Alright, so here we have a very simple picture. Notice that it's a great wonder in heaven. It's not going to be something that originates in the earth. It's not anything of man's doings. It's something in heaven. The two basic elements that are present today, the woman clothed with the sun, that is the church, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the moon under her feet, that is the created works of God under her authority, that's given to us to rule. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, probably referring to the apostles of the Lamb, and also to God's overcomers, his saints, that have stood out throughout history. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now this is the proper attitude for the Christian church. I don't know how you conceive of the church, but the purpose of the church, the posture of it today, is to be in travail. It is a travail, as in birth. It's not a time for fun and games, a time for us to be preoccupied with ourselves. One of the burdens that I have tonight, I don't know if I can communicate it very well, but I think that God wants us to kind of be abandoned to Him. The great problem that is arising in the American church, and it makes it look foolish, and we'll become increasingly foolish unless this yoke is broken, is that the gospel is being turned inward. See, it's being turned to Christ is making me happy kind of thing. Christ is doing this. Christ is doing that. It's not healthy at all. It's only genders to bondage. It keeps us occupied with ourselves. We're all tied up in a little knot. Am I doing all right? It's not the issue of the kingdom. We are expendable. We are something that God is using for His own glory to bring certain things to pass. Don't you see that? Get a firm grip upon that, because you see, as you look around you and you see the people just in Poway, and the great majority of people in Poway tonight are just wandering in absolute darkness, not knowing what they're doing, supposing that the purpose of man on earth is to feed his face and get some fun if he can. And to God has entrusted to us the truth, not because we're better than anybody else. That isn't the point. Because we're more noble or faithful or anything. That has to do with election. It has to do with predestination, the knowledge of God, His own choices. You know, Jesus said in John 15, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And we're here supernaturally. The fact that we are here in this building is a supernatural occurrence. It's absolutely a supernatural occurrence. And what we need to do is to realize that we are not saved because, how shall I put it? I don't know, I want for words here. Because we are God's pets, or because God wants us to be informed while the rest of the people stumble around in slavery. That's not it. We have been called out for their sakes. Will you ever get that grasp, that thing? We have been called for the sake of the world. For God and for the world. God so loved the world. And we have been called out in order that God one day may reach those people and rule them, may warn them today, and may rule them in the future. And it's to this end that we are called out. If we get a hold of that, we won't be worried about our aches and pains. It doesn't really matter whether we live or die. It doesn't really matter what happens to us. And God loves us, and in all the things that happen to us, God wants us to pray. But God allows these to happen to us, so we will pray. You see, there's a means. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. And as we do, God works in us. This is that this 12th chapter is talking about. God is working something in us with a future impact. See, who is to rule all nations? It has a future. This is how the kingdom comes into being. The kingdom comes into being now by travail. What we say, what can we do to bring in the kingdom of God? Travail. Eh? It doesn't come in by committee meetings. It doesn't come in by our efforts or our strainings. It comes in by our travail. And if you are in the Lord, God brought you into travail today. Some kind of a travail of prayer. And if you get that right, working right in your life, and get your viewpoint, the end result of that is not so that you will get through another hurdle so that your problems can be resolved. It is so that Christ will be formed in you. Praise the Lord. See, so you can see that the great problem that has arisen in our nature of making the gospel a means of pleasing people and making it possible for them to do certain things. Our lives, of all the people in the earth, our lives are absolutely expendable. See, that's what Paul was saying in so many words is that God has raised me up and called me so that he might be glorified in me. Now, if he's glorified in my life, fine. If he's glorified in my death, it's irrelevant. That part is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is that Christ is glorified. Is that make any sense? That's quite a hump to get over. That means a lot of abandonment of our tidy little situations and a wholesale casting of ourselves in the will of God with a view toward what is your will? What are you saying in all of this, God? Okay, I'm sick. What are you saying to me? Sure, I want to get healed, but beyond that, God, what are you saying to me? What are you teaching to me? Because I know that you have called me for an eternal work to be your eternal servant. Praise the Lord. Abandoned to God. Absolutely abandoned to his will. And it's a high calling that we have. And it's going somewhere. So our posture is travail. She travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. The 7 heads refer to perfect wisdom. Perfect wisdom. Our adversary is wise. We are not able to stand up against him. As it says in Martin Luther's song there, A Mighty Fortress on Earth is Not His Equal. Do not have that wisdom. That's why we have to be in prayer all the time. We can be deceived so easily. The only safeguard, I tell you, it's something. You can see Christians deceived and they do not realize it. And there's not a blessed thing we can do about it except keep preaching the word. And what happens is God brings us into various situations that play upon certain frailties that we have. And the business of the ministry of the church is to be abreast of the Spirit so that we can keep coping with these frailties and keep preaching about them. But what you have to watch is your heart. You have to take heed because any one of these can lead you off into deception. And when you get into it, you won't know it and you won't listen to instruction. There will come in a spirit of pride, and you will find yourself, then you begin to see the symptoms. Enmity against the brethren. Rejection of the church. Feeling better about staying away from the meetings and not understanding what is going on. That is because your enemy is wise. He is wise. He is wiser than we are. And that's why the Lord's Prayer, which is a masterpiece of succinctness, and everything in it is as powerful as dynamite. One of the phrases in it is, lead me not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. That's because every day there are snares around. Your enemy's watching this frailty, scanning you, analyzing your personality, assigning demons to you, watching everything. And God is watching with zeal. And God has given ministries in the church, not just the pastor or anything like that, but it's just in the church is the spirit of truth as we all worship God so that one doesn't get astray. And when people make the mistake of staying away and praying in their closet, what happens is the enemy tricks you. That's one of the reasons for our assembling. Because any one of us, and I certainly put myself at the head of the list, any one of us can get let off. And it's happened to me in times past. That's why I'm so wary of it. And I pray every day, God keep my mind. God keep me on target. Because I have no match for Satan's wisdom. You say, well, I read my Bible. Big deal. You're dealing with someone with seven heads. Perfect wisdom. And we have do not have that wisdom. The only defense we have against Satan is the spirit of truth that is in us. And that as we meet together and that truth is refurbished and it's gathered together as we minister to one another and we keep ourselves, then the minute we get nearer we can tell because it kind of springs up. But Satan will do everything in his power to cut us off from the fellowship. Everything. Because then he can gently play upon our weaknesses and begin to lead us away very slowly, very gently. He's extremely artful. I've experienced that in my life. Praise the Lord. I tell you, we do not have the wisdom to cope with Satan. And he has ten horns. That means ten represents the world. He has power in the world that God has given to him to work the works of God. And seven crowns upon his head denotes perfect authority that God has given him. He's a tremendous adversary. And apart from Jesus, we are no match. You know, the church goes around and sings its cute songs. If the devil's in the way, I'll run right over him. And you wonder why Satan doesn't break out, you know, and do something about this. You know why? Because he's so far above this. He's got the evangelical church in his hand in America, in blindness and delusion. He should worry about children singing that the devil's in the way, we'll run right over him. That doesn't bother him. He's after bigger game than that. He's after, he'll deal with that in his time. He's after bigger game than little voices piping up about how they're going to run over somebody with seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. Huh? He's after bigger game than that. He's after the rulership of the world and hoping against hope that he'll be able to resist Christ in the battle of Armageddon. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan is not concerned about our church doings. He's not concerned about our church culture. He's not concerned about whether the special went over or if your voice cracked in the middle. He's not concerned about building programs and he may send some minor demons to harass the situation just to keep life interesting for everybody. But that's not, Satan's not concerned about that. What is he concerned about? One thing alone, Christ. That's all that concerns him. Every man on earth put together, if they all said the name of Jesus, are no problem to Satan. He's concerned with one thing, Christ. Now, I've been asking the Lord, and ever since our brother Nana Olivu, is five syllables in his name, Nana Olivu. Like people's, when I find you learn the name, I like to pronounce it right. That's his Nana Olivu, that's his name. He stunned me when he reminded me that after 2,000 years, there's only 3% of India that is Christian, counting Catholics and everybody. 3% of 750 million people. And I pondered that. You know, if you were in a business, and for 2,000 years you operated at a loss, what would you do? What might you be tempted to do? Well, you might be tempted to sit down and say, you know, guys, we might be doing something wrong. Is that right? You might, if you operate a loss for 2,000 years, you might sit down and say, you know, there's a slim possibility that we're doing something wrong here. And not just keep doing the same thing. And that's the way I feel about it. I don't want to be part of the same kind of thing that ends up in another 100 years with 3% of the people. And I'm saying, God, what is the church doing wrong that in America it can't impact to any appreciable degree on the government? That Satan comes in with affluence and sin of all kinds and the Western nations go bananas. The Eastern nations have the power to cut off the gospel with arms. And then in some parts of the earth, the thing is in a general uproar as one wing of the church fights another and they're all mixed up in politics. And the church that Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail for 2,000 years, straggles ineptly through the earth so that in 1984, almost 2,000 years after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what is does the church say to the world? We are, it is said that Hitler despised the church and went after the Jews because he felt they represented some kind of a threat to him. I don't doubt it at all. The church didn't have enough of what it took to do much for the Jews. It appears from what they say, I wasn't there, I'm not criticizing anybody, but from what they said, the Jews feel terribly let down by the church in Germany. Did you know that? To this day, they say, where were you when they decided to send us to the gas chambers? Where were you? Where were we? Fussing about whether our voice cracked in the middle of the special. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And as I asked the Lord about that, it seemed to this impression came to me. I don't say this is verbatim or anything of the kind. It seemed like the Lord was saying all of this has been necessary up to this point. But from here on in, God is going to bring in His kingdom. And nothing can stop it. And do you know what that kingdom is? Jesus Christ. What has happened is that the church has been trying to present Jesus for 2,000 years. That isn't what the Lord is after. He's not after committees of men figuring out how they're going to preach the gospel. That's fine. That still may be going on and God may be blessing it somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the burden that God has given me. What God wants is people who will lay down their lives and cease from their own works. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it speaks of those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And I think what God wants today is people who are beheaded, who pass over from religious thinking to becoming oracles of God, to yielding ourselves to the Lord to where Christ begins to come forth in us. We don't say, I'm going to go to India and I'm going to do thus and so and I'm going to raise so much money. Other people, to that is given to them to do this. I would like to see the Lord send some people to India who are led there by Jesus Himself and with whom Jesus is walking and in whom Jesus is prepared to cast out the demons of India. Not people who are going to do that by prayer. People who have been commissioned of Jesus, in whom Jesus is living. It's either time for Jesus to cleanse India and to bring the Jews into tabernacles. It's either time for Jesus to do this or it isn't. And I don't have any plans. I don't go anywhere unless I'm asked. I didn't ask to go there, and I didn't ask to go anyplace else. I've done some refusing, but no asking. I think there's something God wants to do with some people. Not everybody, maybe, but with some people. I think that God wants some people who are bent upon one thing, and that is becoming a channel for Jesus Christ. Without mixing it with their own ambitions, their own understanding, or anything else. Praise the Lord. I believe this is God's hour. That's how Jesus lived. He did nothing of himself. He was only a channel for the Father. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. But we look at the needs of the world and we look at the Bible and say, Lord, it looks like we should be doing something. Well, maybe. But I believe that this 12th chapter of Revelation, being placed where it is saying to us that in the last days, the church will go into a travail and Jesus Christ will be formed. Praise the Lord. I believe that. That's what it says. And the devil, of course, will seek to kill that child. Now, how will he do that? I'll tell you one way he will do that. By having the church seek its life rather than its death. You see that? By playing to the church. You can get this from God. You can get that from God. God keeping the church alive. Because unless the church dies, Christ cannot be born. And she brought forth, it was successful. And I know that God is going to be successful in this end time, because I know the burden that's on our hearts is on many hearts. We feel like ceasing from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Praise the Lord. I don't want to hear one more committee meeting or go to one more committee meeting in which people have a new plan to do something. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm too old. My life is too short. What it remains of, I have one thing I want in my life. I want to see Jesus like Simeon of old. I want to see the Lord's Christ before I die. I don't want to hear any more of man's plans. If man can labor for 2,000 years and get 3% Christians in India, I'm through with it. I don't want anything to do. I would rather see Jesus do something. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to come forth. I want Christ to come forth. And it says her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. What does that mean? That means that today the kingdom of God is at the right hand of God. In heaven. And whenever Christ is created in us, he immediately ascends. The kingdom of God is not here. The kingdom of God is in heaven. You must understand that. There's been a lot of confusion about that over the last, as long as the latter rain has been falling. There has been a lot of confusion about this. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is testifying today that Christ is in us. Is that right? See, you're hearing stuff tonight that I don't know if this is true or not, but I know that for many years, God would not allow me to teach or preach at all any place. There were no ears to hear. Absolutely none. But it is God's time now. And you are not alone. There are many people. My brother Nan Alibu was telling me, he said, brother, you are not alone. I said, I have refrained from bothering my brothers in the denomination whatsoever for fear of causing any kind of dissension or division. And he was aghast. He said, the conference I just came from was about the kingdom of God. He went straight up there to the headquarters. He says, I've got to have four copies of your book, The Kingdom of God. He went straight up there and handed them out, and then called me back to tell me he'd handed them out, and to who he handed them out. To whom he handed them out. He says, you are not alone. It is good, because that keeps us from being a cult. See, a cult works in concentric circles from one person. That's how you can tell a cult. But when it springs up wherever God's people are seeking him, then it's not a cult. A cult has to come from one person. Don't ever anybody ever call you a cult. A cult is based on one person. Whatever God does will come up wherever people are praising God and seeking his face. Hallelujah. And this brother Nanalavu said, there is new life, there is new blood coming in. And he said, the kingdom is being preached in Life Bible College. Boy, that did me good to hear that, because I'd love to preach in Life Bible College, but I have never. I was asked once to teach there when I first came to Poway, and I responded in the negative, because I did not want to cause any dissension or division among the brethren, or preach anything that the youngsters would go back and tell their pastors and cause confusion in the churches. I would love to teach there. Love to teach young people. I love it. I see a young man or a young woman, particularly young men, I think I have mostly a burden for, but there are some mighty fine young women too. Yeah, but my burden seems to be young men. And I see one, I just want to take him under my wing, but God has not permitted that. He's not permitted me to teach. That's been a great problem in my mind, but I don't worry about it too much. But it was so blessed for me to hear him say that God is bringing up his word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I had nothing whatsoever to do with it. Bringing up his word in the among the brethren. And you see, and the same thing was told me in Africa, as the same thing as this brother whom God has raised up or retired. I think he was a colonel by the time he retired, and raised him up, and he has no time for the traditional. There's no time for it. He says, I want to hear about the kingdom. Can you tell me about the kingdom? It's God's time for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's God doing that, see. I don't want to hear the same old stuff. Build a church and keep all the sheep behind a fence. He wants to hear about how God is going to drive the devil out of India. Praise the Lord. Now, let me explain what I meant by the kingdom is in heaven. As God begins to deal with us, and he has throughout the period of the latter rain over the last couple of decades, there has arisen in people's feeling about the manifestation of the sons of God, and they want to go on the attack. The church wants to go on the attack. Let me tell you something about that. Our posture is still defensive. Eh? Stand. Having done all, stand. We would love to attack. The best way to fight is to attack. The best way to defend yourself, as far as I'm concerned, is to attack. But that is not what God has said. See, God has said, your job is twofold. One is to build up Christ in the people. Feed them. Feed my sheep. Build up Christ. And as Christ is formed within you, guess what happens to him? You go out and work wonders, right? No, no. He is caught up to heaven. Why is that? Why can't you exercise the power of the mighty Christ? Why can't you do that? Because there is a time when the kingdom of God shall come to the earth. And when that time comes, Jesus shall descend with his army in an attack. That is the coming of the kingdom. But what is being done now? The army is being formed. The army is being formed. Our role, you and I are members of the body of Christ. We are not a church congregation. Never were. Never will be. Forget it. You must come with something in your hand to give. Do you remember that Sunday night we preached in Exodus 23? No one shall appear before me empty-handed. A congregation comes empty-handed. They put their nickel in the collection or whatever it is, and they've done their duty, and they go home. That's not the army of God. That's why the church has 3% of India, is because that kind of thinking and action, because they have congregations. That day is over. It's dead, it's sterile. It may be chattering out its last death rattle is in its throat. It's over. It never will accomplish what God wants today. What God is looking for is you and me, and I'm not somebody that came out of a theological seminary with my collar turned around backwards. I was in the secular realm, and I obeyed God's voice to come out and give my portion to the body of Christ. I am not a minister in that sense. I am not clergy while you are laity. I am no different from you. We're in a new day. A new day. And your responsibility is equal to mine. I give what I have. It isn't everything. God knows it's very limited. But it's something. And you have something to give. And God will hold you responsible for it. The day of church warming, if it ever was here, is not here today. You must ask the Lord, what do I have to give? Jesus will say, do you love me? Oh yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. You have some way to feed God's sheep. Some way. May not be teaching, it may not be preaching, but you have some way to build up Christ. And the Lord will teach you how to do it. He says in Exodus 23, you will not come before me empty-handed. Praise the Lord. And you have to do just like I did. I was busy in my professional life, but I spent a lot of time seeking the Lord. That's how you get stuff from God. How you get into His will is pressing in. Pressing in. You never say, oh, it isn't your will to use me. You press in. Then if God doesn't use you, that's His business. You get up the next morning, you press in, you pray. Lord, today, this is what I would like today. Window shop. Tell the Lord what you want. Keep on it. But it didn't come to pass this year or next year or so on for 10 years. That is completely irrelevant. All the while you were asking, God was preparing you. You just didn't see it. It hadn't come up to a threshold of visibility. But it was being wrought. It was being wrought. The first time you prayed, God heard you. I used to pace the streets of Palo Alto praying, God, bring your message to everybody in the world. And I believe I'm going to live to see it. I sure come close to it in the Cerrillo School, I'll tell you that. With 500 and some leaders from all over the world, still hearing from them. Boy, that was a step in the right direction. But that isn't everybody in the world, and my prayer was everybody in the world. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And the moment you pray that, God hears you. God's word is true. He doesn't say, now there, now there. God is never smug or complacent. He looks for the person who is adventurous and the person who is radical enough to believe what God has said. I prayed with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Bring your witness to everybody in the world. Nothing happens. Day after day. Year after year, apparently. In the meanwhile, God says, thou what you want, okay, I'll answer your prayer. And the wheels begin to roll. They begin to roll. And the experiences, everything that happens to you from then on, is so that your prayer will be answered. He said, you shall ask anything in my name, it shall be done. That's what it says. If it's not true, then John 3:16 isn't true. So we don't get carried away with what we see. If we live in this world, it's our own fault. He said, they'll walk in the heavenly, set your affection not here. So that's our job, is to see to it that we're not living here, but that we're walking with Jesus. We're walking in the heavenlies and we're seeing Him. Hallelujah. With the eye of faith. And every day, say, Lord, well, you didn't do anything spectacular today, but I'm believing you. Praise the Lord. This you will. I know it. Let's go. That's what we're waiting for. There came a day when God picked up my option. Leave your job. Just like that. Right out of the clear blue. Just when you'd never think He'd answer. All the years go by. Settle down. Figure, well, that's it, Lord, for one lifetime. Praise the Lord. Coming on 50. right in the middle of it. Quit your job. Forget your pension. Do what I tell you. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, He hears you when you pray. He hears you when you pray. The first thing that all of us are obligated to do, and it's a lovely obligation, there's nothing wrong with it. Feed the sheep of the Lord. Every day, Lord, what would you have me to do to feed your sheep today? I will not come this day with my hands empty. Oh God, what would you have me to do? Don't let your brain get taken up. Make your job beans on the table and forget it. Disengage yourself from this world as much as you can. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That takes a lot of prayer, doesn't it? That takes a lot of doing. This world is colorful, attractive to us, not to Christians in Siberia, but to us it is. Interesting, demanding, challenging. It's passing away and we're getting snookered. The Bible says, set your affection on things above. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Don't touch this and don't taste that. Walk in the heavenlies with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Build up Christ. The second thing that God has called us to do is to bear witness of the kingdom that's coming. We can't bring in the kingdom. We can't go out and charge and say, it's time now. We are singing these things by prophecy. They're prophetic. It is the time to take. We should sing them. We're supposed to sing them. It's the will of God. The Spirit doesn't know time. He's telling us, the Bible tells us about the time. When Jesus appears, we'll appear with Him in attack. But in the meanwhile, the church is in travail. And we are part of that travail or else we're dead in the world. Not growing, dying, members of congregations, just putrefying with the rest of the churches, leaving 3% in India. It's time for God to move in India, I believe that. And in Afghanistan too, which is going to be a tough nut to crack, but not for Jesus Christ. He has the power. He's the God of Afghanistan. He's the God and maker of those rulers and those communists. Christ is God who creates these things. The reason the church bumps its head on the door and gets knocked flat is because Jesus isn't walking with it. The big man isn't walking with the small man. We're the dust. We go to try to get into a country like Afghanistan. It's a worse shape than India. You scrabble against the gates in vain. But you bring a man there that Jesus is walking with and let God knock on the door. And the wall and the door and everything else will knock, will fall flat. And the communists will say, and the leaders will say, tell us of your Christ. He has that power. We don't have it. Man doesn't have it. But Christ, I believe, Doug, is waiting for someone who will slow down enough to say, Jesus, walk with me. You do it. I'll just be your little boy. You just take me by the hand and lead me where you go. That's my prayer. Hallelujah. I want you to walk with me, Lord. I don't want to do anything myself. I want to know what you are doing. And if you're not doing anything, well then, so be it. I don't worry about it. That's your problem. It's your kingdom, not mine. If you're not interested in it, why should I be? I'm going to try to hold up the rock. I want to know what Jesus wants. Not what my ideas tell me ought to be. Certainly He's interested enough to tell us. Somebody's got to lose their head for this thing. The first thing is to build up Christ in the members of the body. My little children, Paul said, of whom I travail in birth, until Christ be formed in you. Christ! Christ! Not Christ-likeness, not good behavior. Christ! Birth! Not learning. He didn't say there was a woman in heaven with a book in her hand, and she was studying like mad. She is reading her Bible. She was travailing. Christ doesn't come forth as we study. He comes forth as we travail. Hallelujah. Oh, brother. Blood, the sword, birth. That's the way God deals with people. not in the niceties of religious theological persuasion. Hail, stones and coals of fire. Praise the Lord. First, by building up the members, and second, by bearing witness. And this is where the miracles come in. And God wants us to work miracles. He wants us to go out among the nations of the earth and work miracles. And we have to pray that God will do that and pour out His Spirit and send us to work miracles. That's not the power, that's not the coming of the kingdom. That is the witness of the coming of the kingdom, the two witnesses of chapter 11. These two things are going on today. The preparation of the two witnesses and the building up of the ruler of the ages to come. Do you see that? Don't lose sight of the fact that it's twofold. You say, it's complex. I can't think. Brother Thompson, don't be complicated. Think. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! On the one hand, we are bearing witness to the world. The kingdom is coming! Cast out devils, raise the dead! And it's time for God to do that, to pour out His latter rain. And at the same time, we who are bearing the witness, something else is happening to us. What is that? Two things are happening at the same time. Revelation chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 12. Somebody name one of them. All right, we're travailing so that what will happen? Christ will be formed in us. And where does He go when He's formed? He goes to heaven. Why? Because that is where the kingdom is. And when will the kingdom come? When Jesus comes. The kingdom of God is coming. It's at hand. All right, that's one thing. And what can we do about that, Herb? Is there anything we can do about that? No. Now, you got to confuse. Now, I hit the two things too quickly. No. The first thing that we can do is what? What do we contribute to this? What do we do about this notion of Christ being formed? What do we do about it? We offer what we have. We minister to the body and are ministered unto. All right. Now, is this very important? This is kind of, you know, a little importance. Is that right? You would think so sometimes. What did Jesus do? He ascended. And when He ascended, what did He do? He gave gifts unto men. And what are those gifts? Apostles and prophets and what? Evangelists and pastor teachers. The fourth group, pastor teachers. For what? For the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And where is this found? Ephesians 4. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what the ministries are for. Now, this is how the ministries are given, to bear witness to the world. The ministries are given for what? The perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints. The building up. And I said to our brother John on Oliver, I said, do you know why? What the ministries do, they perfect the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah. Hey, yes, he said. I said, why? For what purpose? Why? What's God going to do when He gets a perfect man, a perfect body? What's He going to do with it? He didn't know. We've got to know what we're doing. We just can't march without the commander-in-chief. Huh? It's good to be enthusiastic. We're fighting someone with seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. And you have to have more than enthusiasm. You have to know the mind of God. Why is God creating this perfect man? Why? What? God bless your heart. To rule for the kingdom. There is no kingdom until there's a ruler, a king. And if it were going to be Jesus alone, what would he have done 2,000 years ago? He would have set up his kingdom. Why has he wasted 2,000 years? To bring forth the body of the ruler, the Messiah. And that is, the Messiah is at the right hand of God. All right, that's one aspect. What's the other? One aspect is the building up of the body of the Messiah. Because otherwise the kingdom cannot come if you don't have the king in his body. I don't know why Jesus can't rule alone, but he can't. He's chosen to rule in and with us, so be it. That's God's will. All right, that's one thing. And our job then is to minister to the body. Are you ministering to the body? How are you ministering to the body? You shall not come before me empty-handed. You are ministering. You've got to minister to the body. And God will show you how. And he'll give you something to give. All right? What's the second thing? To bear witness. To whom? To the nation. Don't you see that? That's what the two witnesses are. You see that in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again in the great congregation, so that the saints may be edified. Revelation 10, 11. Is that what it says? Some of you are looking at me. You won't find it up here. It's in the Bible, Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. Now I'm going to repeat that verse. And thou shalt prophesy again in the great congregation, that all the members may be edified. Some are looking at me strangely. Is that what it says? Come on, kids. Doug, you can read. What does it say? Huh? Tanya, are you going to sit there like a bump on a log? Look in the Bible. What does it say? Huh? Who do we prophesy to? And tongues and kings. To do what for them? To build them up into the perfect man. Why do we prophesy to kings? And we are going to. I firmly believe that the day will come. I don't understand. You know, I told you when I first came to Poway that God had led me and prompted me in my writings to write in the vernacular. Do not use idioms. Do not use idiomatic expressions that are not readily translatable. I thought, oh yeah, good, they'll be going other places in the world. I can see now God's wisdom in that. That is exactly because Brother Nanalabu said, can I rewrite your books to make them even simpler for my people? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. And I told you that. You may not remember that 8 years ago. I said, God had impressed me. And another thing that was impressing me at that time, I don't know how this is going to work out with the communists. No, I do not understand this, but I have a distinct feeling in my bones that in the day to come, I don't know whether it be with the communists or whether the communists are going to get overthrown or what's going to happen, but God is going to cause those people to be responsive to the gospel. I mean Russia, China, and all of these places that today are fenced off. They're leaders. I believe that. They're going to hear the prophecy and they're going to respond to it. And that's why in my writing I tried to be very, very careful not to say anything that in any way is political in nature. Because it will be going to people who are at political enmity against our nation and against other nations that we're allied with. And God wants His kingdom independent of politics. It's just as much a Russian gospel as it is an American gospel. Hallelujah. We are patriotic Americans. That's one hat we wear. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are totally international. It is not an American gospel. It comes from a crucified Jew preached by Jews. It comes out of the Middle East, not out of the Western Hemisphere. It comes out of the Middle East. And if we can keep politics out of it and capitalism out of it and all the other artifacts of our culture and forget that stuff, That's not where the action is. We're not trying to perpetrate democracy, capitalism, or Americanism, or anything else. Not in the kingdom. And I've kept that out of my writings. So that in the day when these communist leaders, whoever it is, are going to pick up, I tell you, if the communists would only understand it, if they would take Jesus Christ, they don't have to take capitalism or Americanism or anything. Just keep their own system and take Jesus Christ, and He'll make them the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. I hope that doesn't shock you. Huh? Praise the Lord. Don't get Christianity mixed up with America. There are two different things. One is a political economic system, and the other has nothing to do whatever. It works as well in a kingdom. It was born under the Roman Empire, and it'll thrive in an empire or anything else. And we don't bring with it the artifacts of our culture. We bring one thing. Jesus is God's Son. Receive Him or perish. Keep your own system. Capitalism, communism, your ideologies, whatever you want. That's irrelevant. You don't have to get all dressed up like we do. Stay in your hammock and eat your mangoes or whatever. Don't change that. Just one thing. Jesus is the Son of God. Receive Him or perish. For that reason, I've kept all politics, everything that connotes that, out of my writing, so in the day to come, the communist can pick this up and he can say, there's nothing American about that. This is talking about something that is deep in the history of Russia. When Russia at one time was Christian. This goes back when the gospel was preached in the steppes of Central Asia. This has nothing to do with nations. It has to do with the God of heaven who made the Russians. And the Chinese, and the Afghanistans, and the Arabs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm patriotic. I enlisted in the Marine Corps in the war. You can't catch me on my patriotism. But the kingdom of God has nothing to do with nations. It has to do with God. And when Jesus comes, He will rule them all. He'll take over the throne, whether it's a democratic nation or a communist nation or whatever. It makes no difference. Jesus said, "This is my will. Obey it." Oh, but Lord, we're used to voting people in and out. Praise the Lord. You're under a kingdom now, boys and girls. You're under a kingdom now. Hallelujah. But we are called, you and I. I don't know how long our little Camelot will last here, but the day will come when God, and it'll probably be in the midst of an upheaval of some sort, and God will send you and me, and our job will be to bear a witness and to prophesy to all peoples. The kingdom of... We don't tell them about the church and joining the church and all that. That's not the thing. This is the kingdom message. The kingdom of God is coming. See, we have to be built up within the church so we can bear witness. The lampstand's being built today. Repent and believe the good news. Be baptized in water. How many of us? The entire nation, beginning with you, O King. Believe and be baptized. You'll be saved in the day of the Lord. And those who receive Christ's witnesses will be the sheep nations. And those who reject them will be the goat nations. Because Jesus said, "He that receives you receives me. And he that rejects you rejects me." Praise the Lord. Great things ahead, saints. Don't let your mind become unnecessarily preoccupied with the trivia that passes for reality in our day. It's not reality. The reality is here in the Bible and in the spiritual world. That is the realm where reality exists. What we're seeing about us in the television and the computers is not reality. The reality is the coming of the kingdom. The rest is only a delusion sent by God to try our hearts. That's all this world is. God will recall it one day and only reality will remain. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we come to you this night and we thank you, Lord, that we have been chosen by you to hear the voice of the righteous one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you have stirred up our hearts. Lord, the trumpets are sounding and the drums are beating, and the feet are tramping, and the mulberry trees, Lord God, oh my soul, Lord Jesus, stirs up, hallelujah, and causes to be changed into other men and other women, that we may not be deluded by the Antichrist materialistic passing away foolishness of this present culture. We may perceive spiritual reality and be men and women of God, prophets of the Most High, that we may bear the glory, hallelujah, and build up our brothers and sisters in the body, the elect of God, that the ruler, the Messiah, may be formed and may come in that glorious day. Help us, Lord, to both build up our brothers and sisters and also to bear witness as thou dost lead us. Help us to be patient under the hand of God, having come far, thus far, not running out in our own wisdom and strength to do our little bit as the church has done for 2,000 years, but to wait patiently upon the Lord until we hear thy voice, O Christ, and we know what we're doing. Lord, we're only the dust. We're only dust, Lord, and our efforts are feeble. But thou, O Christ, take our hand and walk with us and confirm the word with signs following. Jesus, raise us up above that which is incompetent and fleshly. In this day, Lord, we pray for India. Not 3%, Lord. 100%. Jesus. Jesus. Awaiting the touch of the nail-scarred hand. Oh God, we would not do it by our might, but by thy Spirit, O Lord. Tell us when and where and how, and we shall walk and listen to thee as a servant follows his master, as you go forth, Lord, that we might walk with thee and be thy mouthpiece, O Lord. Afghanistan, Lord, for so long, darkness, 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 and today being slaughtered, never having heard the name of Jesus or the scriptures, and now being slaughtered, their blood running. God, such a tragedy. Oh, Father, thou art the Creator. Grant to us that in our day we will see the gospel go to every human being upon the earth, every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the face of the earth. And Lord, we offer ourselves as expendable motes of dust, that you may use us however you will, however you will. Lord, make us what you want us to be. We would see Jesus, and we would bring Jesus to our generation. We love you, Lord. It's the least we can do. It's our reasonable service to render ourselves unto thee, O God, a sacrifice, that your will might be done, to be broken on Jesus, all our talents, our lives wasted, in one glorious burst of perfume upon the Master. Oh, hallelujah. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we want other people to be touched. We want God to be satisfied. We want to be that light, Lord, that you would have us be, and the help to our brethren that we should be. Oh, hallelujah.